Welcome to the channel. My name is Sean. I'm the founder and creator of Bye Bye Panic. We help people overcome their physical symptoms caused by anxiety, helping people get back to full freedom, go back to living without having these symptoms. Today, we're going to be reacting to anxiety advice online. What do you think we're going to find? Let's find out.
What's planned for today are two techniques. One is going to be a method of exposing yourself to anxiety symptoms, bringing them on, so that you can learn what they feel like and learning to bring them down again.
So what she's focusing on is exposure therapy. Basically, anytime you're experiencing anxiety, you'll experience a lot of discomfort. You'll feel a lot of bizarre symptoms. And so what a lot of people do is they naturally resist the symptoms because the symptoms are naturally very uncomfortable. So what she is trying to help this patient do is bring on the symptoms. Now, what I've historically found is understand why you're experiencing these symptoms. If you're getting symptoms like breathlessness and it's convincing you that you're going to pass out, no matter how much someone tells you to expose yourself to the breathlessness, you're going to always resist because you have this fear in your mind of what happens if I pass out. Exposing themselves doesn't work until you understand why you're experiencing these symptoms. A lot of people with anxiety will think worst case scenario. They think their palpitations is the onset of a heart attack. Their breathlessness means they're going to pass out. So before you even go into exposure, it's important to understand what's happening.
Okay, how does that sound?
Not great.
It's a tall order.
Yeah.
Very effective though. And what's going to make it easier is that we're also going to learn a breathing technique that we really use to bring those symptoms down.
Okay.
That was the issue. All right. So a lot of people use breathing techniques incorrectly. I even see this with therapists. We have therapists in our program. They have this notion that the breathing technique is supposed to reduce the symptoms. Breathing techniques are not a shield for your anxiety symptoms. You can already tell that this person, this therapist, is giving guidance that's a little bit contrary. On one hand, she's trying to bring on the symptoms, which is fine, but she's also having this patient use breathing techniques as a way to bring it down. The truth is that when you expose yourself to these symptoms, you don't need to do anything about it. You just need to be able to let the symptoms pass on their own. The breathing technique helps you feel the symptoms. My personal opinion, I went through recovery without doing a single breathing technique. But I know when I was struggling with anxiety, all I was doing was breathing techniques. I was trying to meditate every day. I was trying to do all these things and ended up not working. It was just a waste of time. And then when I realized that I don't need to do anything about these symptoms, then I didn't need to use breathing techniques. If I did it, it was fine, but I had to have the right intentions behind it. And so already I'm a little bit irritated by this video because the guidance is contrary. On one hand, you're bringing up the symptoms. That's fine. Again, you want to make sure that the patient or the client knows why they're experiencing the symptoms first. All right, let's move on.
Okay, and that's
better.
It does for most people.
Okay.
So I'd like to try that first, this relaxation breathing technique.
Okay.
Okay. One of the reasons we like this a lot is that, first of all, it's portable, easy, can be done anywhere. So you can use...
What happens if you're giving a presentation and you experience symptoms? Are you just going to stop your presentation and start doing breathing techniques in the middle of a presentation?
Use it for all kinds of things, not specifically limited to when you have panic symptoms. The other thing about it is that it really directly gets at one of the core symptoms of panic. And that is that when you're feeling panicky, you're probably breathing a little too rapidly.
That is true. When you're experiencing panic, when you're experiencing this fight or flight response, what happens is naturally your respiration goes up. So the fight or flight response is a survival adaptive response. You have a lot of physiological changes. You'll notice your blood pressure goes up. You'll notice your heart rate goes up. And one of the things your body tries to do is that it tries to get more oxygen and it pushes that oxygen to different muscle groups. This way, if you need to run or fight something, you have enough oxygen. Now, the way your body does that is by making it feel like you're not getting enough oxygen. So you have to get more and more oxygen so that you have more oxygen, you know, flowing through your blood. But it's important to understand that this is a natural response to experiencing anxiety. She gave a little bit of the notion that when you are feeling anxiety, you are the one that are hyperventilating. But I would say that's the natural response to anxiety. That's just a natural physiological response. But that feeling, if somebody doesn't know what's happening, they will misinterpret that feeling as I'm not getting enough oxygen. When the truth is that you're getting more than enough oxygen.
Okay. Have you ever thought about your breathing and what happens when you're anxious?
I just can't catch my breath.
And what do you think you're doing when you feel that way?
I'm more than likely holding my breath. Because I'm panicking.
Right. And then in response, chances are you're probably breathing a little too quickly.
Oh, right.
That's one of the characteristic things people do.
Okay.
Again, it's not people doing this. This is a side effect of the anxiety, right? One of the biggest things we say in recovery is don't follow your feelings. That's really hard to do because it feels like you're going to pass out. It feels like you're not getting enough oxygen. You have to recognize that it's just anxiety. You just need to let the anxiety symptoms pass. Whether you use a breathing technique or not, it's fine. But the goal is that you want to go through the panic. You don't want to use breathing techniques as a way to circumvent it, which is what this therapist is saying. And this is what kind of irritates me.
That and the breath holding, you're absolutely right. They're both big issues. The problem is that, ironically enough, both those patterns are going to contribute to even more physical symptoms that you then think of as part of your core anxiety.
I disagree. What's causing more of the physical symptoms and the feelings of anxiety is that you're running away from the symptoms. You're resisting the symptoms, whatever that symptom is. If you feel like you're going to pass out, that is naturally you running away from something, and that's what increases the symptoms. So how do you get around that? Understand why you're experiencing the symptoms. Learn the response, which is just let it pass. It's about not doing something.
How you think about something affects how you feel about it. How you feel about someone affects how you behave towards them, and so on. The issue for clients with anxiety is that we cannot control our feelings or our emotions directly.
That is true.
And because all of these things interact with one another, by changing how you think and how you behave, you can actually help people to feel differently, which is the ultimate goal of this kind of therapy.
My problem with this video and this advice is that it was focused on overcoming anxiety, but at the same time, it was giving advice on coping or managing. If you want to focus on overcoming, you have to feel temporary discomfort. It's part of the journey. Coping mechanisms are designed to find relief in the moment. So when you give this advice at the same time, they conflict. If the patient has very strong avoidance behaviors, it might be better not to give them any of these tools and just let them get better at practicing at feeling the discomfort.
Five things not to do.
I've seen this guy. This guy's all over TikTok and Instagram and stuff.
If you have anxiety. If you have anxiety over a situation and you start panicking, don't leave. Because if you leave, like you're in a store and all of a sudden you get overwhelmed, if you leave, pretty soon you're not going to be able to go to the store.
This is actually incredibly true. So whenever you experience a panic attack, your body gears up into this fight or flight mode. One of the interesting things your body does, it's kind of amazing how nature works, is that it takes a screenshot of your environment. So think about it historically, okay? Imagine you're in the African savannah and you're, you know, picking some fruit and all of a sudden a tiger comes out of nowhere, right? You get in this fight or flight mode, you experience the panic symptoms, but you have a tiger in front of you, so you run away and you manage to escape. Now, anytime you go into a similar environment, your fight or flight system is automatically going to turn on. You don't need to do it consciously. Your body and mind are so attuned for survival that if it feels like it's in a similar situation, well, what it's going to do is that the panic symptoms are going to come. What happens is that when people are experiencing panic attacks, they have this initial fear to run away. And sometimes they do. When they run away, they basically tell their nervous system that this situation was a threat. So a lot of people will have panic attacks. Let's say the first time they'll have a panic attack is in the car. Now, anytime they go in the car, they'll notice the panic sensations come. And so what happens that if you leave, you're reinforcing your nervous system that, yes, that is a true threat because Sean ran away. So if Sean ran away, there must be danger. There must be a tiger in that car. So it's very important that if you run away from a situation where there's panic, you basically reinforce that there is a threat and your nervous system will keep sending you false alarms. All you need to do is let it pass. And what happens is that When the panic passes, well, you just taught your nervous system that, hey, there was no threat. You just sent a false alarm, and then your nervous system adjusts. It says, Sean didn't react, even though we sent him a surge of adrenaline. We told him to run. We told him danger, danger. Sean didn't run. He's alive. Hey, maybe we can tone it back a bit. So that is true.
Pretty soon you won't be able to go out of your house. What you do instead is just 4 seconds in, hold it for a second.
Yeah, okay, fine. Breathe if you want. The main purpose is not to do anything. Just let the symptoms pass on their own. That's all you need to do. I'm telling you, breathing techniques just complicate things unnecessarily, right? Like, we have people, when we're helping them through the recovery journey, we don't teach them a single breathing technique.
Alcohol, marijuana, mushrooms. Now, lion's mane I'm okay with, but psilocybin. People use these to treat their anxiety, but then these start to control them.
Okay, that's an interesting point. And I agree with that, but I think there's a second part to that. So basically what this doctor is saying is that alcohol, THC, marijuana, and mushrooms can be used as a way to escape how you're feeling. And basically what this doctor is saying is that if you're self-medicating yourself on that, that's a surefire way to have two problems now. Now, not only do you have anxiety, but now you're developing a dependency on these things, whether it's physiological or psychological. On the flip side, a lot of anxiety sufferers feel like they can't live a normal life, that because they have anxiety, they can't have caffeine, they can't drink alcohol, they can't do this, they can't do that, and it makes them feel fragile. I want you to understand that if you are dealing with anxiety right now, it's a temporary thing. Once you overcome it, you can go back to living. You can do all the things a normal, healthy individual can do as well. My take is that never use these things, alcohol, THC, or mushrooms, as a coping strategy for your anxiety. Never do that. That's a surefire way to create two problems. But at the same time, it's recognizing if you want to do this, don't let your anxiety stop you from doing this. Another TikTok video. I think this is Instagram. Let's see what she has to say to cure your anxiety.
Daily routine. If I get out of my routine, I don't feel spiritually the same. I made it my lifestyle. Even if I'm a little tired, I wake up in the morning, I sit down, I read a chapter in my Bible, I pray.
Okay, so there's two things she's mentioning. If you want to avoid anxiety, you need to have a routine. It's kind of interesting, you know, when I was struggling with anxiety, I did the same thing. But once I've recovered, I don't have a routine. I have a little bit more of a routine now, but I'm also a little bit older. But I remember when I was well on my way to recovery, I remember I was going to grad school. I remember I was partying every day. I remember I was sleeping on friends' couches. I was waking up at weird times because I had to go to class or I had to go to work. I had no routine. This idea that you need lifestyle adjustments or routines to make sure you don't experience anxiety, that's not true. If you're able to just self-regulate, understand the mechanics, learn how to respond to the anxiety, you can live a very resilient life. Your nervous system is way more resilient than you think.
It's something that I must do in my morning routines now, because it's going to keep the depression away. It's going to keep the obsessive thoughts away. If you knew how much peace I have in my heart that I never thought it was even imaginable for me to have. You know why? Because I have God.
Nothing against this, but it's not the Bible or any, you know, religious text that keeps the anxiety away. That's not how it works. This is still avoidance behavior. I mean, what do you tell somebody who's an atheist? You can never recover because you're an atheist. This religious stuff can be separate. This has nothing to do with anxiety. There is a spiritual component that can show up in recovery later on, but that's a self journey. Recovery, whether you're atheist, whether you're Buddhist, whether you're Hindu, whether you're Muslim, whether you're Christian, whether you're Jewish, whatever you are, you can recover. That doesn't matter. Don't think that you're having anxiety because you're a bad Christian or something like that. It's just like, hey, how are you responding to the anxiety? Are you avoiding it? That's the issue. So if you're enjoying this video and you want to know more about how to overcome your symptoms, the practical steps on how to overcome these symptoms, go back to living, you can check the link down below in the description box or go to byebyepanic.com. We also have a bunch of success stories, people around the world, different ethnicities, talking about their recovery journey in the program, how they got better. This way you can get hope and inspiration and know that you're not alone. And you can focus on long-term freedom and not rely on these coping crutches or coping techniques and really focus on what's going to help find long-lasting relief. So information is down below. Right, we got another therapist. Let's see how this goes.
Anxiety, I beg you to make that not stronger.
Now, let me give you another example of how you can do it. Mm-hmm. Anxiety, I beg you to make this lump stronger. I want it to be so large.
Okay, this is really interesting. I already know what's happening. This patient has a symptom, lump in the throat sensation. A lot of anxiety sufferers experience this. It's called, I think, globus hystericus. I might be mispronouncing that. Basically, it feels like there's a lump in the throat. A lot of the anxiety sufferers feel like they can't eat because of that, that there's something stuck in the back of their throat. When they go to their doctor's like, there's nothing there, you're fine. And so what happens is anxiety sufferers naturally start resisting that feeling and they hate that feeling. So what he is doing in a lot of ways is exposure therapy in itself, which is, hey, bring it on.
I want it to be as big as a marble. I want it to be, how about a golf ball? Could you make it a golf ball? I would like it to be so large that people in the audience start to see my neck protrude with this big...
I like that. He's really pressing. He's basically saying, hey, bring it on. Get as intense as you can. Like, he's really, you know, having, you know, like really focusing on pushing this patient and this client to really experience it. I like it. It's good.
Big ball in there. I wanted to make it so big that to swallow... It would have to go all the way around this lump and in through my throat. If you would do that, it would make me so happy. It's so important to me. I do so many things for you. I avoid things for you. I don't go to lunch with my husband. I don't get by myself. I've done so much for all these years. I've done so much for you. Now I'm getting into being mad at it. I'm asking you one simple thing to make my lump larger, my knot bigger. Please do this one thing for me.
I love it. I think it's great. I would highlight again, and he might have done this, he might have not, but based on what I've seen in this video, it would be nice to have the patient understand why the lump in the throat sensation is there. As long as you can know that this is a really common symptom, and if you've gotten everything ruled out by your doctor, it's fine, it's not a big deal. It is uncomfortable, but it's a side effect of the anxiety.
Gosh, I sound like my mother. For a little bit. So can you try your own version of that? Just stay with it and really try to, you know, like you're auditioning for a role and this is your job. And if you don't do this persuasively, you don't get the part and you've wanted this part for so long. Are you willing to try again? Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anxiety, I beg you to make that note much, much bigger. It just seems so unreal.
You can tell that she's feeling the discomfort, and that's a good sign. And so you have to give this patient credit.
Make it as big as you can, but it's not there.
Excuse me?
It's not there anymore.
What do you mean it's not there?
Well, it's not there.
It's gone?
Well, yes.
Okay, well, let's try this.
It's funny how that works, right? The more you say bring it on, the more you allow the symptom to be there, it goes away on its own. So many anxiety sufferers think that in order to make the symptom go away, I need to do something. But in this case, she said, no, bring it on. In fact, bring it on more and more. What you find is that the symptom passes on their own. When you get to that point, that's a very, very awesome stage in the recovery journey. All right, let's check out some TikTok videos and see what people says. Okay, just looking at this already, I know I'm getting a very... very angry. Why did he use a butter knife?
Same guy anymore, I'm broken. These are the truest words I've ever spoken. 24/7, I'm always open to...
Don't do this. You don't need to do this. What is this? Just don't do this. Like, nothing about this video is efficient. And here's the crazy thing. This video has gotten 300,000 views. I wonder how many of those 300,000 views people actually did that. How many people actually pulled out a lemon, squeezed it and drank it. It makes no sense. It's just another coping thing. All it is that it's just a distraction. You're basically just doing something to distract yourself from feeling panic. You can be drinking lemon. You can stick your head in cold water. You can do the weirdest, wackiest things. It's all just a distraction. You don't need to do any of that. The panic goes on its own. This is silly nonsense.
And it's self-medicate at the bottom of license. They need help. That's why it's crisis. All they've ever needed is help and guidance. Why is no one on the planet listening?
You got this, but he doesn't got this. So I hope you enjoyed this video. If you want me to react to more clips, put it in the comments below.